There's a great deal of relationship then between the way we think and the way our body functions. Another body therapy is called bioenergetics. It's the idea that your body's a system of energy, and that what gets locked up when we tense ourselves is the energy of the body. And that theory is that as you start growing up in life and you begin to get an idea of what it is you need to be in order to be somebody in your family and in life, that we begin to hold ourselves, to try to hold ourselves into whatever we think it is we have to be. Because we usually have a sense that we either need to be less of what we are or more of what we are. We're feeling that the way we are isn't quite right. And so we tend to hold ourselves, and Alexander Lowen talks about it. We hold ourselves in, we hold ourselves back, we hold ourselves up, we hold ourselves out. And you can see different body types of people that go through life where they barely take a breath, or they hold themselves up, going like this, and you just see often, if you take a good look at the bodies, where they seem to be holding themselves. And that holding then is an attempt somehow to meet expectations. That is then the way we begin to program the image that we have of ourselves into our body. Now, that... These are some relatively new developments in terms of actually working with this, but is it new? When you think of the scriptures, can you think of some references to the body in the scriptures?
As a man thinketh, so is he.
Okay, as a man thinketh, so is he. That's one. Any others that you think of? When they talked about people who are sinful, what were some of the ways? Yes. Mm-hmm. And he was answering a very important thing, and that is that many of us live, and you might use this phrase, I live as though I have no blank. I live as though I have no what? And a lot of times we... Now for me, I was a skinny runt when I grew up. And I was always quite anxious about that. So I locked my knees. And, I just tied my knees up, trying to be strong, because I didn't think I was very strong. Well, I lived my life as though I had no legs. Really. And my legs are long and skinny, and I never thought much of my legs. I never liked them. And to discover the difference of letting them be flexed and the different things that happen to my body when I let go of my knees, my whole body begins to ride easy. Whereas when you lock your knees a lot, you throw your whole body out of whack. Well, okay, maybe you remember some of the phrases, hard-hearted, stiff-necked. These are in the Bible, ways of talking about people. Eyes that don't see, ears that don't hear. Any others that I... Those come to mind. Again, the stiffness is a stance. We have a lot of vernacular language. What are some of the other things we say that we use parts of the body to describe? Lead in your pants, okay. Can't stomach a situation.
Spineless.
Okay, so we have a way in our vernacular of talking about this, that often what is going on with the personality of the person may be reflected in what's going on in their body. And so, anyway, what we're discovering is that we can begin to discover how the way we think affects the body. And if we change our body, one of the things that has been most interesting, when we began having the interest in jogging, we knew that it was going to build up some muscles, that it was going to improve the cardiovascular system, and that generally tone up the body. What we had no expectation of was that it was going to affect people's personalities. And what has been found is that when people jog regularly, they begin to feel better about themselves, they're more confident, they're often more open, Often they become more generous. A number of things begin to happen as people, again, begin to work with their body and begin to open up their body. Well, let's experiment a little with this rather than just talk about it. I'd like to do a number of things with you today in terms of experimenting. So would you first take a moment and just get as many chairs back against the wall and back in the corner so we've got some room to move here. And we'll do some action things. I'd like to invite you to all come and stand up. You don't have to do these if you don't want to, but I think you're going to find them interesting if you do. And part of the reason for making room is I'd like to have you have room so you can spread out your arms and move like this without banging too much into each other. You may need to... Yeah, you need to be able to go all the way around, so watch out for the posts... Anyway, spread out where you can kind of twist all the way around. Okay, now. Now, I'd like to have you put your hands on your hips and turn to the right and mark the spot on the wall where you can see with your eyes after you've made your turn.
Turning our head all the way around?
No, just turn your head too. Turn your head, just follow around, mark the spot on the wall. Okay, come back. Now, turn around the other way. And mark the spot on the wall. Okay, come back. Now, I'd like to have you extend your arms. Now turn to the right and see how far you can go. Okay, now back. Now go the other way, mark the spot. Okay, back. Now what happened that time?
Went further.
Okay.
No, okay. Almost twice as far.
Almost twice as far?
Yeah, really, almost. I could see, when I turned my head, I could only see to here. And when I looked down, I could almost see all the way.
Okay, neat. Okay, now put your hands on your hips. Now turn to the right. Now back. Now turn to the left. And back. What happened that time?
Back to the same place.
Huh?
Were you back to the same place?
No.
Was he even
shorter? You were shorter?
Well, mine was shorter.
It's further.
Okay.
That's about the same distance as one arch. Yeah.
You were able to go as far as your arms went.
Yep.
Okay, how many was that true for? That you tended, did you go further than you went the first time?
Yes.
Okay. My hunch is that most of you probably went further than you went the first time. And part of what happened is that you got an image in your mind of how far you could go, and when you did the second time, you went as far as the image went. Okay, well, some were standing here swinging around before we, testing out if they had space. It could be, but I think it also has to do with the image. Okay, just have a seat someplace there and we'll... There's been some interesting experiments done, and that is that we're beginning to believe that the body will only do what the mind images. That the image of your body that you have in your mind and the image of its movement will control what the body will do. And if you change that image, it'll change what the body can do. Now that's the whole principle then of things like the inner game of skiing and the inner game of tennis, You may have heard of those. What they do is they have people image making the serves and making the swings and doing the movements. And they have them go over them and over them in their mind. And then when they do them, they're able to often do them much more gracefully, much more effectively. Their body works because they already have the image in their mind. And so our mind seems to control. They did an experiment with some people where they gave them some exercises to do, and they had real difficulty doing them. And then they hypnotized them and told them they were 5 years old. And they were the kind of thing that a five-year-old could do easily. And they could do the exercises very easily as five-year-olds. And then they brought them out again, and they were back the same age, and they had difficulty doing them. But when we have a sense of what we can do, we often can do it, and much more effectively. You've also heard, maybe, of the kinds of experiments. I don't have the exact details of this, but this is the general gist of it. And that is that they took two basketball teams. And one basketball team, they had have regular, they had them play, and they kind of evaluated their effectiveness, their ability. And then they had one basketball team work out in a gym regularly. And they had the other basketball team work out with their imagination, where they would get together each day and they would imagine shooting and imagine working out plays and working it out all in their imagination. And then they brought them back and they thought that the team that had worked out in the gym would be much better. But they weren't. They had both improved about the same. So, this may have some implications for how we begin to work with our bodies. Let's do another kind of experiment. Just have a seat for now. Let's see, would you be willing to volunteer? And then I'm going to need four other volunteers. Have him sit here instead of you. And you'll understand why in just a minute.
You want a heavier guy.
Have you come right here. Okay, now, each of you, and you come right there. Each of you, take your fingers like this and put them under the arms and under the legs. Okay. Now I'd like to have you lift him. Okay, go. Okay, now down. Okay.
Wow. I think we should have had her.
Yeah, I could. Okay, now, what I'd like to have you do is we're going to go 1, 2, 3, and then come under the part that you can lift. And I just want you to imagine him just lifting right up, just floating right up. And I want you to help them. Will you just imagine him floating right up, that he's just going to be light as could be, and he's just going to move right up. Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3. Okay, lift him. Let him go up. Okay, what was different? What was different?
I just knew you were going to do it.
Yeah, you knew you were going to do it.
Listen, I thought you two were.
Did he seem happy?
No, he didn't. Well, I didn't think so. The way you
What if you suggested to us that he was very heavy and we would have had a difficult time?
And maybe that's what happened when he said, "Hey, boy, you wanted a heavy one."
And if you had suggested prior to this.
Yes, yeah. And that probably would have affected it, wouldn't it?
The fact they were working together to rhythm.
Okay, that they had a sense of rhythm, sense of movement. But they had in their image that he was going to go up.
Yeah.
And anything else you noticed? What was it like for you? Difference?
I could tell the second time that they lifted me easily. I could see that.
Did you have a sense of yourself that you were going to go up?
Yes. I've been through this before.
Okay. So you were anticipating it too. No, they all took. They all did this. Okay. Now they already have their image. They know they can do it. I think it'd be a little difficult now to sell them that he's going to be heavy, because they know that they can do it, and they probably wouldn't have that same image. Okay. Thank you.
What part did the mental assistance have?
What's that?
What part did the mental assistance have?
I think it also helps.
It does help?
Yes. We don't know, but people who are able to do psychic things often tell them that if they're in a room or with people who don't believe that it can happen, are very skeptical and angry and upset, that it affects them, that they aren't as able to do things. Well, and you may have a sense of that. When you're with a group that just believes it can do something, you feel it. And when you're in a group that says, oh boy, you feel it. Okay, so. So when Jesus says, if you have faith, you could say to the sycamore tree, be rooted up and cast out. If you have faith, you can heal. Peter, if you have faith, you can walk on water. If you have faith, you can move mountains. I wonder if he's talking about this. I wonder if he's saying something about what it means to believe that something is possible and what happens when we do believe that. And maybe we haven't begun to tap the limits of those potentials. Now, some of you are embarking on exercise programs. And if some of you may be going about it in the way that you learned in school, and that is often a calisthenics kind of program, one where you go, and what happens, I think, in that, I know it did for me, is that my mind never really wanted to do that, and so, but I had to, and so often I would push my body, I would make it do the things, and my mind was never working with my body, that it was like my body was a machine and it had to go through the motions. Now, often I think people approach exercise in that way, that they make their body go through the motions, but their mind isn't with it. A real different kind of thing begins to happen when we begin to work with our body and put our awareness in our body. So let's stand up again. First, just to loosen up a little, one of the purposes of exercise can begin to open up your body. In other words, loosen it up, open it up, and not just build muscles, but relax it. So one of the ways is flex your knees and bend over a little and begin swinging your right arm. And just imagine that it's very heavy. Just bend your shoulder a little so that it's totally relaxed. Just notice what happens as you let it be just very heavy and relaxed. You can experiment around a little, bend a little more. Maybe swing it slightly differently. See how the muscles work and whether it relaxes and lets go. That there's a value in some exercise that doesn't work strenuously, but moves in relaxed ways. And what's happening now is that your muscles and your nerves are getting a sense of what it might be to be relaxed. They're getting re-educated. Okay, and now slowly come up into more of a standing position with the arms swinging. And so you begin to educate it in how to swing into position in a standing place. Okay, now stop. Now, notice how your right shoulder is feeling and maybe how your left shoulder is feeling. notice some differences. And begin to do the same with your left shoulder now and see how that's different. One of the things you can do is you can do something with your one side and then compare it to the other side and use one side that may be able to do it in a better way to educate the other side. In other words, oh, that's what it can feel like. Okay, now bend your knees and straighten your body up a little. Okay, and then stop and let yourself be aware of what's happening. Just let go. Okay, what did you notice as you were doing this? Not sleepy?
Mm-hmm. My fingers started to tingle.
Some tingling. Often when you begin to let go of tension, there'll be a tingling running through you. I know I begin to become aware of how my scapula, my shoulder blade works. And that's one of the places that sometimes we begin to tighten is our shoulder blade gets less flexible. And we begin to hold ourselves rather stiff. One of the professions that seems to have a long life expectancy is orchestra conductors. They do a lot of this. So they keep loose up in here, and they keep their lungs open and loose. One of the ways that we begin to cut down our vitality is by cutting down our breath. And so we begin to lock our shoulders, begin to hold our chest in, and we begin to cut down on the breathing capacity. We don't, for instance, use the upper lung. You've got lung that goes all the way up into here that you can breathe into. But often we begin to shut that down and don't use it. And just feed ourselves in less oxygen. So, some movement that begins to open up. And it's a good way to start. Now, one of the kinds of exercise is yoga. And often people think of yoga as stretching oneself open. And so let me give you an idea of how to approach that. There's a way that I think is detrimental and a way that is a problem. Take and put one hand on your left leg, and so you can support yourself. Spread your legs apart a ways. Okay, now start down and begin to feel the stretch right here. And just go until you begin to feel the stretch in your side. Keep your face looking straight forward so that you don't twist. Okay, now come back up. Now, one approach that oftentimes we take when we aren't working with our body is to say, oh, it's tight there. I better open it up. And we stretch and pull. And what's going to happen? You're going to hurt. You may rip a muscle. And when you turn your back on your muscles, what are they going to do? They're going to pull right back. Right. Because if there's tension there, that means that for some reason, your body wants to be tight there. It's about something. So another way is to do it this way. So go back into this position. Go until you stay facing forward. Don't bend your body, twist your body any. Okay, now just get to the point where you feel the tension. Now take a good full breath of air and slowly exhale as though you're exhaling through the part where the stretch is and let your body open. And then when it really begins to feel tight, don't press any further. Okay, let's balance you out. Let's go the other way. Now the idea here is you use the position to bring your awareness to part of your body. And last week we did some things around what happens when we put our awareness. Just bringing your awareness there will help it open up. And breathing helps you relax and let go. And when you relax and let go, your body will open. And so it's inviting it to open rather than forcing it open. Okay, let's do the other side.
Have a good full breath of air, and then let yourself have a seat. Okay, the components we're working with in exercise is bringing your awareness into your body, so you're working with your body, you're moving with your body, rather than making your body do something. And you use your breath to begin to bring your awareness in and to help you let go. This, I think, was the God-given design of the yawn. Oh. Just do that one. Oh. Now we call that, you know, we call that impolite and all that kind of stuff. Well, this is one of the God-given neat things that we can do to let go of tension. Over in Japan, I understand they have yawn breaks. I don't know whether it's a it's the point at which I think the tension begins to cut off the oxygen, and there's a desire for some oxygen. And when our oxygen is cut off, our vitality is down, so we feel fatigued. And so we think it's because we're tired. And it's the way of your body letting go of the fatigue to bring in the energy again. And often, I know when I do it, I can feel kind of a rush of energy, some flow of energy or tingling. Because I think many of our bodies want a yawn, want the release. Uh-huh. And when someone else does it, we all of a sudden become aware of, oh yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I want that for me. I'm feeling that way also. Oh, one other thing about breathing. And this is that we have so much emphasis. As you were growing up as a child, when did your parents ever say, take it easy, relax, let go? Is that what they said?
No.
No. Come on, get going. Try harder. Work harder. Now, we have two systems. We have a letting go, a relaxing, an opening up, a being refreshed. And we have a gearing up system. But in our society, we have only stroked the gearing up. And so we often don't give any value, any attention to the ability of relaxing and letting go. It's an ability to be able to just totally let go. And so when we get in a position that's very tense and tight, we don't know how. We haven't built the skills. We haven't practiced it. Nobody told it was a good thing. And so the only way we let go often is not knowing how to let go, but by diverting our attention. So we sit down and watch TV or do something. We're still doing, we aren't letting go, but it diverts our attention enough that we get some rest in the process. But letting go is a skill. Now, what that was about is to say some more about breathing. As a child and growing up, again, I didn't think much of my body. I didn't think I was very strong. And so whenever I had to really exert myself, I thought I had to push hard. And what I would do would be to take a deep breath and hold my breath. If I were to do push-ups. You know the feeling? When you're going to lift something? Well, what do we do when we do that? We cut off the oxygen. We tense our muscles. We bind up our energy. Yeah. It's been a whole new experience for me to find that when I'm going to lift something, to relax and go, I didn't have you deal with your breath here. If we'd gone on and worked with that, man, we'd throw him all the way to the ceiling. What happens when weightlifters lift weights? What do? They exhale with the lift, yeah. They go. They let go because there is a lot more power here than we realize. And I like the phrase in the psalmist where he says, to run and not be weary. That we probably have a lot more power in our body than we actually believe is there. And that's often shown, for instance, with hypnosis. When they they hypnotize a person and lay them across the chair and someone sits on them and they can hold them. Then they wake them up and they say, okay, now lay across the chair and we're going to let someone sit on you. And they say, what, you're crazy? You go ahead and try it, and they fall down. So there's something about our fear of not being enough that makes us not enough. And again, Jesus keeps talking to us about that, about having faith and believing that His power works in us and through us and that there's a lot that we can do. Well, okay, next time you're going up a flight of steps, take a good full breath and just imagine yourself floating up the steps. Exhale as you go up and see what kind of a difference it makes. Or when you're going to lift something, take a good full breath and go and see what happens. Experiment that. Okay, now let's... Oscar Volt was a psychiatrist over in Germany, and he did some hypnotic work, and he found that by teaching his people who were in therapy, how to relax, and using some mental imagery and some techniques, that he was able to help them not only relax, but often overcome a number of symptoms that they had. And Johannes Schultz then picked that up and developed a system that is called autogenic. And I'd like to introduce you to that. That was back in 1932 that he began doing that, and they continue to use it considerably over there. It is just coming to this country. Anyway, they have found that it has been an effective treatment for such things as hyperventilation, bronchial asthma, constipation, diarrhea, gastritis, ulcers, spasms, racing heart, irregular heart, high blood pressure, headache, cold extremities, thyroid problems, general fatigue, anxiety, irritability, and sleeping disorders. Now, you know, they want you to have a physical examination so that you're working with a doctor and you might know what other factors may be involved in some of these. But this kind of an approach can often help you, help your body mobilize its own immune system to deal with some of these problems. The technique is essentially this, and that is to find a comfortable position and a room that's fairly quiet, dark. I don't know how quiet our room will be today. Sometimes we have lots of things going on, but it seems fairly quiet today. So find a position now with your body not rigid but well supported by the chair, fairly straight. Unravel your legs. Part of this is discovering that when your spine is straight, that your skeleton can carry your body. That often we end up feeling like we have to hold our body, but it's because of the way we position ourselves that as we're off balance, then we have to tighten our muscles to hold ourselves. But that if we are fairly straight and relaxed, the skeleton, we can just drape our body over our skeleton. Okay, and now if it's comfortable for you to close your eyes, fine. If not, then you don't need to do that. But I'd like to have you, I will say the phrases now, but I'll say the phrases that you would say if you were doing this on your own. Okay, now begin to imagine your arm, your right arm, getting heavier. Does that have a good feeling?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Well, have a real nice letting go time this evening. Thank you.